Jeepers creepers. Man, sorry, I was in a one-on-one meeting and got hung up. But I'm here now, so thanks for being here, and let's go ahead and get the show on the road.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh my gosh. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Thank you for being here. If you're here, it is April 6th, 2022, and it's 6 minutes after the hour at 1906 UTC. So I'm sorry for being late, but some news is better than no news, right? I'm just going over here to connect to SDF so that I can launch Calm, which is a chat program. You should definitely do that. All right, and if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch Calm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch Calm, that's C-O-M, you press enter, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all over. Case, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stug and Claudio M and Ratsu and X1 and Jazzmaz, if he's listening, and all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that. Oh, thank you. So yeah, and shout out to Xeon and Stug. Thanks for being here. Thank you very much. I'm glad to see you guys hanging out. Are y'all in here? So let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start. Hey, and Dirty Rig's here. Hello, hello. Sorry about mixing up carrier wave and continuous wave. My bad. I've thought about that a lot yesterday. All right, let's go ahead and get moving. And we'll start the way we almost always start. And that, my friends, is with
world news.
So we got to start off small and easy, right? So let's talk about ethnic cleansing. Tigrayans are being targeted in a campaign of ethnic cleansing in part of Ethiopia's conflict-torn northern Tigray region, a joint investigation has found. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch accuse officials and security forces from neighboring Amhara of committing war crimes and crimes against humanity in western Tigray, allegations dismissed by Amhara's regional government. A 23-year-old Tigrayan trader told investigators how he was beaten up and left for dead in Rawayan by a patrol of Amhara Special Forces who said, "We will erase you from this land. This land is ours. This is the last time a Tigrayan will live in the area." Hey, welcome, X1. Welcome. 409. The western part of Tigray has been largely inaccessible to journalists and aid agencies since the war in Tigray erupted in November 2020, and all lines of communication have been blocked. It's an area where land and boundary disputes between neighboring regions and ethnic groups have long caused tensions and resentments. The conflict, which followed a fallout between Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's government and Tigray's dominant political party, has proved an opportunity to settle old scores. One of the things to remember or think about is Eritrea and Amhara and Tigray and the Tigray People's Liberation Front, they all have a lot of history going back for many years. And really, the TPLF was kind of ruling with an iron fist for a while. And that's where Abiy Ahmed kind of came out of. He left the group, and then I don't know who that is. And so, yeah, so anyway, there's an interesting history there. Go check out Wikipedia. You can see, and if you read about the TPLF, you'll see kind of how all these players fit together a little better. This report that we're talking about is a 207-page report covering events between November 2020 and December 2021, and is based on interviews with 423 people, mainly survivors of alleged abuses and satellite images. In the first days of the offensive, one of the first large-scale massacres was in Mai Khadra on November 9th. It involved both sides and left around 229 of the town's residents, both Amhara and Tigrayan, dead. Afterwards, report says Tigrayans were targeted in revenge attacks by Amhara security forces. Their property was pillaged and occupied. So, three survivors told investigators about the massacre of about several dozen Tigrayan men near the Tekez River on January 17, 2021, an incident that prompted many people to flee. And there's more details about the atrocities. So there's more details about the atrocity and a nice little map there at thebbc.com if you want to check it out. Essentially, if you think about it, you've got Somalia on one side, Eritrea to the north, and Sudan on the other side. And Amhara and Tigray are both the two northern states. So I don't know. If I was comparing it to the United States, it'd be like Eritrea is North Dakota. Oh, you know what? If you turn it a certain way, Eritrea is like Idaho, and then Tigray and Amhara are kind of like the next countries, North Dakota and Minnesota, kind of next to each other. Anyway, just to give you kind of an idea of like their relationship orientation to each other. All right, well, let's keep on a moving because there's other people going on. There's other people dying all over the world. Hey, Zion. Yeah, I don't think I know this JSSMG11. Let's check it out. Here's the next thing. 300 civilians dead. Bad intelligence behind Mali military operation that killed 300 civilians. Malian troops and suspected Russian fighters allegedly executed around 300 civilian men over 5 days during a military operation in a central Malian town in late March, Human Rights Watch said in a report on Tuesday. It's amazing. I just think it's really neat that Human Rights Watch and these other groups are doing so much work down there to try and keep documentation and document all these horrible things that are going on, the killing. France 24 terrorism expert Wassim Nassar gives his analysis, saying that this was a counter-jihadist operation sparked by bad intelligence. The alleged killings took place between March 27th and 31st in the town of Moura, a rural town of around 10,000 inhabitants in central Mali's Mopti region, a hotspot of extremist activity that has intensified and spread to neighboring countries in the Sahel region. The incident is the worst single atrocity reported in Mali's decade-long armed conflict, HRW said. There was a very particular context behind what happened, said France 24 terrorist specialist. Since many weeks, the Malian military, helped with Russian elements, is trying to make a kind of surge in the central region of Mali. They are attacking many jihad strongholds. But the thing is, the jihadis aren't resisting, or at least they weren't, up until the beginning of last month. They counterattacked after absorbing the new force, which is the Russians actually, and counterattacked in Mondoro, causing the deaths of more than 40 Malian military. In the last 2 months, the Malian military lost up to 160 men in this region. The Malian army based their operation there on bad information or bad intelligence, he explains. I got to know that a member of the first circle of Mohamed Koufa, a prominent leader of Al-Qaeda there, was caught and brought into interrogation in the Malian capital of Bamako. And actually, this person gave some information saying that Koufa could be in this region of Moura, which launched this operation, with at least 100 Russian operatives backing the Malian army. So, basically, what happened was they caught one of the leaders, and he lied about where people were, and those people went. the army and the mercenaries went over there and rounded up everybody and tried to take them out. So, anyway, it's just a horrible tragedy to be in a war-torn region and then have 300 of your people just killed relentlessly, you know, for no reason. Anyway.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, we got to get through all this heavy stuff first, though. There's a few more heavy stories we got to talk about. The heaviest of all, outrage as Delhi meat shops shut for Hindu festival. Many meat shops in the Indian capital of Delhi have been closed for 2 days after civic officials asked them to remain shut for Navratri, a Hindu festival observed over 9 days. Mayors of South and East districts said most people did not eat non-vegetarian food during the festival, and many had complained that they did not like seeing meat being cut in the open. That's my delicacy, says X1. Mayors have complained they didn't like seeing meat being cut in the open. This is not the first time we've had this be discussed in India, where various markets, even the cooking of meat, the cooking of meats outside, was offensive to some people. Many say it violates India's pluralism. Navratri celebrates the victory of goddess Durga over Mahishasura, a demon, and during the 9-day festival, devout Hindus usually fast or abstain from eating meat, and even avoid using garlic, onions, and certain spices in their food. My manager told me about this one. The Indian, some people refrain from eating garlic all the time, and onions and stuff. The Indian capital is governed by Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's Aam Aadmi Party, which has not issued any official orders asking meat shops to shut. The mayors who've called for the shops to remain shut until April 11th belong to Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu Nationalist BJP Party, which is Jains do. There you go, Stug. Thanks. That's probably what it is. Avoiding onion and garlic. I think that sounds really familiar. It's probably what she was. She tries to make everything very accessible to me because I'm an American, so she sometimes just describes what it is as opposed to giving it a name. Jainism. Their move has drawn sharp criticism online, with some pointing out that someone's choice to abstain from meat should not infringe on another's freedom to eat meat or earn a livelihood. MP and Trinamool Congress Party leader Mahua Moitra strongly reacted to the order, saying the Constitution allows me to eat what I like. So that's what's going on there in Delhi. So we'll see. If the mayor asks you to, it's not an order, but I mean, do you want life to be difficult? Speaking of making life difficult, let's talk about football. Following the second leg matches of World Cup qualifiers, Algerian and Egyptian football federations had referred their cases to FIFA. The Algerian Football Federation, or the FAF, said Tuesday the appeal it lodged with FIFA to request a replay against Cameroon will be heard on April 21st. Following the second leg fixture, the Fenechs lost on March 29th, and the FAF regretted what it called outrageous refereeing decisions. A FIFA verdict is also expected on April 21st. If replay decisions are rare, many Algerian supporters are still hopeful their squad may have a chance to play in the Qatar Cup. So, we talked about this before, so I just wanted to give you an update. If you're waiting with bated breath, hoping against hope that maybe Algeria gets to go to the World Cup. Anyway, that's happening. You know, I guess it's now as good a time as any to go ahead and get a song out, because we've got to talk about stuff going on in the U.S. and the Ukraine and just other stuff that's just a downright shame, you know? Let's see. I've added a whole bunch of songs to the music library. Let's see if we can't... let's find something that's nice and... Here we go. Here's the bar. Let's find something that's around 2 minutes long. That's a good song length. 159. 2 minutes. All right. Sorry, this is terrible. Terrible radio right here. So while I'm looking at this, I just want to remind you, at 1930, every single day is the Dubious Goals Committee, every damn day, and we're waiting to see the day when Tobes comes back and gets us back on live. So stick around, please, at least check that out and see. Here we go. Here's a song for you. This is from... I don't know who sings it, but you'll recognize the song. Hey. supposed to be my Sharona.
Why does our love just stay in my memory? Riddle it back and sing to me a story.
This is too low energy, man. Too low energy.
Spend 15 years. Get loaded. 15 years. Cause
here's Bob.
No effect. What's Bob gonna do now that he can't drink? The doctor said, what you been thinking about? Bob said, that's the point. I won't think about nothing. Now I gotta do something else.
Oi, oi, oi!
Pass the time and someone shaving, then he got a new identity. 62 old air cushion boots and a girl who rides a scooter to take him out of town. They would get away. Riding around as the trucks drive by, you can hear the motherfuckers go.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and for hanging out. It looks like my comm has frozen, so I'm going to just go ahead and exit. My entire internet connection seems to be slow, so not sure what to make of that. Let's just go ahead and try and relaunch. It might be because I've connected to my VPN by mistake. I always forget. I connect to it whenever I'm doing anything online, and then it stays on, and then I might forget it. So yeah, it looks like Iceland's having a problem. I'm just going to go ahead and go to tty.sdf.org, which will go ahead and load balance you to wherever it thinks you should go. And we'll see. Oh, yeah, it's still taking 1.5 million years. So while that loads, I'll just keep talking. I'm sorry, Com, I can't see you. I'll try and get in there if I can. British embassy guard charged with spying for Russia. A security guard at the British Embassy in Berlin, suspected of spying for Russia, has been extradited to appear in court, charged with 9 offenses under the Official Secrets Act. David Ballantine Smith, 57, is due to appear at Westminster Magistrates Court on Thursday. The UK national was arrested by German police on August 10th. The offenses are alleged to have happened between October 2020 and August 2021. Mr. Smith, who'd been living in Potsdam in Germany, was flown back to the UK on Wednesday ahead of his appearance at Westminster Magistrates Court. Metropolitan Police said the 9 charges related to the collection and communication of information useful to the Russian state. Nick Price, head of the Special Crime and Counterterrorism Division of the Crown Prosecution Services, said Mr. Smith was accused of 7 offenses of collecting information with intent to sending it to Russian authorities, 1 attempt of attempting communication, and 1 of providing information to a person he believed was a member of Russian authorities. He said the CBS had worked closely with its German counterparts to bring Mr. Smith back to the UK after obtaining an extradition warrant. So it seems like that took quite a while, but this story's hot and fresh, just a couple hours old at the time we're talking now. So what else is happening? Lots of stuff with Ukraine. I'm trying to be quick, though. The bosses of some of the world's biggest energy firms vowed to increase production this year as they defended themselves from accusations of profiteering from the war in Ukraine. Chiefs at ExxonMobil, Chevron, and others said in Washington that they had little power over oil prices, which have soared after Russia's invasion. The prices remain more than 15% higher than they were at the end of January. The increases raised energy costs for households around the world. In the U.S., where midterm elections will be held in November, it has also become a major political issue. The U.S. and other members of the International Energy Agency have repeatedly tapped reserves to alleviate the crisis. Just last week, the U.S. pledged to release 180 million barrels of oil over the next 6 months, while the IEA announced on Wednesday that other members would release a further 60 million barrels from storage. But energy executives at the congressional hearing warned there was no quick fix to the problem. So, we'll see how that goes. It'd be nice if OPEC just made up the difference and just started releasing a lot more oil. Tunisia has summoned Turkish envoy after Erdogan's comments. Turkish president criticized Tunisian counterpart for sacking parliament, saying it was a blow to the will of the people. Tunisia has summoned Turkey's ambassador after Erdogan criticized him for dissolving parliament. In a statement released on Tuesday evening, Tunisian's president, I don't even know if we can call him that anymore, he's kind of like their dictator at this point, Kais Saied told Foreign Minister Othman Gerandi that he rejected all interference in any form in Tunisian affairs without directly mentioning Erdogan. So, kind of a weak argument there. There's a lot going on, so I want to get through the pieces that I think are less covered because I think it's important, and we're running out of time. We've only got about 4 minutes, 3 minutes and some change left. No charges for Minneapolis police officer Camille Amir Locke during a no-knock raid. He was 22 years old and was shot dead by police after SWAT team entered the apartment without knocking early in February. You can see the video for yourself, but they broke down the door, didn't really announce themselves, and killed this guy within like 30 seconds or less. So anyway, fuck the police. January 6th panel receives Trump lawyer emails about plan to block Biden victory. House panel receives 101 emails belonging to John Eastman concerning plans to obstruct certification of 2020 election result. The committee investigating the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol received all the cache of emails belonging to his lawyer. The 101 emails were released to the committee after Judge David Carter ruled in federal court in California last week that Eastman, a hard right supporter of the president, had not made sufficient claim to attorney-client privilege. So maybe we'll find out enough information to take action. And the union, we talked about, it was great, the union and in New York, staff at more than 50 locations have contacted the organizers as a second warehouse is set to vote on a union later this month. And hopefully this will be a nice big wave across all the different Amazon warehouses so that they can all unionize and kind of fight back against Amazon's exploitation. So we'll see. Microplastics have been found deep in the lungs of living people for the first time. You'll remember a few days or a week ago, we had a story about people finding plastics in people's blood. Well, now microplastics have been found in the lungs. Particles discovered in tissue of 11 out of 13 patients undergoing surgery, with polypropylene and PET the most common. Twitter has said it's working on an edit button, which will be big news if you use that website. I believe that's also a feature that's coming out or is out on Mastodon, at least the latest release of Mastodon. I think I saw that as one of the features coming out. So, hey, you won't have to delete and repost in the future, so that'll be cool. And, well, we're out of time. Amazon is banning union and other words from its staff chat app. And, that's pretty much all the time we got. Please hang out, check out the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in just a few seconds. And today is Wednesday. I can't remember the schedule. Let me see if I can launch Calm. Because if I launch Calm, then I can press the equal sign and see what's coming up next. You can also press the plus sign. Yep, so today we got the Zeptar Show and then Butt Stuff is listed at 0100, and we've got audio theater at 0600. I always like, if I can't sleep, I like listening to audio theater before bed. All right, have a good one. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.